Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi and welcome to another episode of the Snugcast. I'm your host, DJ Walsh, sitting here in one of my favourite spots in Waterford, even though I've only recently found it, the snug area of Grady's Yard, looking at the beautiful window at the back of the bar, and I'm joined by three of my best friends in the world. To my left, Owen Tabb. Owen, here in Grady's Yard, another episode of the fucking Snugcast. What are you drinking tonight?
I do actually know what I'm drinking. Some oatmeal stout, is it?
Here, I'll describe it later on because I literally ordered it and you said I'll have the same as him. So
the Bishop's Collar, I think it's called.
Something along them lines.
Yeah, yeah.
More from that later on.
It's a lovely stout.
Yeah, he's in great form, lads. He's in great form. Joined again, as ever, by a man who's received compliments on our Facebook page this week as a super guest. Ladies and gentlemen, the man, the myth, the legend. You've never seen him and Clark Kent in the same room together. Big Dave Quinn. Big Dave, what are you drinking tonight?
Even though I am drinking a beer blend tonight, lads. Something very exciting that's made only here in O'Grady's Yard, John Street's Waterford.
Yeah, Grady's Yard.
Grady's Yard. Thanks for clarifying that.
Great start.
Cut.
Hey, we better get off and off.
So it's called Citra Way. It's 40%. I don't actually know what the sour beer is called.
It's Castaway.
Castaway, is it?
Passion fruit sour from
Yellow Belly Beer.
Sour Vice.
Castaway, it's one of their flagship. It's their flagship sour.
And then their Citra IPA.
American Pale Ale.
Thanks a million. All you need to know is it tastes absolutely delicious and Moorish, and it's going down a treat.
Yeah, you're sipping away there, happy enough.
Eating all my munchies.
Eating all your munchies. Just to add a reference to the munchies, usually when you go into a pub in Ireland for overseas listeners, they'll have a packet of crisps or chips, as you guys would call them, and usually the chips are cheese and onion or salt and vinegar or whatever. Grady's there to have, look this up, lads, chipsticks and meanies, and they're just delicious, like... Talk about tasting them Moorish, they're amazing. But we have a guy who featured in the early days of the Snugcast and went into exile. And he's returned tonight like the Messiah. Simon Cahoon, what are you drinking tonight?
Hi everyone, good evening, how are you all? It's lovely to be back. DJ knows what everyone else is drinking. I actually can't remember what this one's called either.
That's the Trouble Brewing.
This is the Trouble Brewing Juicy IPA. It's a delicious beer. Are they from Galway?
No, Kill County Kildare.
They're from County Kildare. Definitely not from Galway. So that's going well. It's actually a delicious beer. Really, it is. It's exactly what it says on the tin. Really juicy, really fruity. We played a bit of football earlier on tonight. It's quite nice and refreshing, and it's just hitting the spot. Goes well with some chipsticks as well.
Yeah, lovely. Can I have a taste of it?
Yeah, well,
I actually haven't had a taste of this yet, so I'm keen. As always, the sniff test, the DJ sniff test. Yeah, you can smell the fruit straight away. It's actually...
It smells like beer.
It's actually very similar to that Graciosa that I was having last week. Very similar. It's delicious.
Yeah.
Really nice. So, listeners, Owen, the connoisseur of stouts, I'll tell you what he's drinking, because I'm also on it. It's an oatmeal stout. It's not a nitro stout. An oatmeal stout. That's a Yellow Belly. It's the Yellow Belly flagship stout, and it's the Captain's Table. Now, this is absolutely delicious. You get the hit of coffee straight away. Really smooth. It's not creamy because it's not a nitro, but it's really smooth. You get a hit of coffee, and then that like sweetness. They put chocolate in it as well. You get that little sweetness as an after kick, and it just finishes it off lovely. Really. As you can tell,
it smells delicious.
It really runs off the tasting, and I've just gone through 3/4 of a pint there, no bother, and it's sitting well. It goes down so nice, absolutely fucking delicious. So, just part of intro, I have a few things, a few bit of housekeeping on that I want to take care of. First of all, I put up on Facebook during the week there last Saturday for the Solus Cancer Centre here in Waterford. There was a park run. And it was very well attended. It was a fundraising run just for the cancer centre here in Waterford, the Solus Cancer Centre. And I just want to give a big shout out to Tucker there, Thomas O'Keefe, that is a keen listener and a big fan of the Snowcast. Tucker trained, I saw him running the roads all the last couple of weeks. And he ran the Solus run yesterday, and then he played football tonight. So fair fucks to Tucker. Round the table, clink of glasses for Tucker lads. On the talk. So great shout, and as ever, we love to support charities and we love to support local charities, so great job done by Tucker there, and no doubt vital funds raised for a vital cause. Keen eared listeners to last week's Snowcast that actually came out the night that we're recording this would have heard a bit of background music at the start and a bit of background music when I interjected in the middle of the podcast. And we also want to give a big thanks to one of Owen's best friends from his childhood, Connor Dalton, who actually helped us out with the team music there. So you'll hear the team music coming into this episode. You'd have heard it last week. Connor Dalton, great job done. Owen, do you want to give Connor a shout out there? One of your best pals since you were a child.
Yeah, fair play, Connor. I think we might put it up as a separate release or something.
Bonus.
Bonus, yeah. It's about 2:20. We're not going to have it as our full team music on the way in. But
can you get that as a polyphonic ringtone?
You can, yeah.
Nice. Oh my God.
It's that and the Crazy Frog.
It'll actually be an amazing polyphonic ringtone.
Yeah.
It'll be better than the Rude Sandstorm back in the day.
I've absolutely loved that. Popping around the house to it like that. It's great. So thanks a million, Connor.
I have a great story to tell about the team music. I had it playing on repeat in the kitchen when I was cooking during the week, and Eve, my girlfriend, came in the kitchen. She started bopping away, giving it socks. I started dancing back. We were having a great dance off in the middle of the kitchen, and I said, "Do you know what this is for?" And she just went, "Ah, for fuck's sake."
Fucking Snowcast.
Snowcast taking over. Shout out to Eve as always. She's a fucking saint. So listen,
I also want to say that Connor did that music, I'd say, in about half an hour.
Oh yeah,
I was like literally like, "Oh, can I get any chance you could do like team music for me like next morning?" Here I was messing around there at breakfast. Here you go.
No way.
Unbelievable.
Can't wait to listen to it.
Oh, it's so good.
And if you do bring it out, are you gonna release you two kind of doing an impression of a kazoo as the B side, the previous theme tune?
No, but do you know what we were saying? Shame. Do you know what we were saying we should do is we should as a piss take, put lyrics to the music and try and get Christmas number one. So
That'll definitely happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
If not, we'll get the Eurovision, surely.
We're sure to get the Eurovision. Yeah. Listen, there's Israel. Lads got the Eurovision.
It's on in Israel.
There's lads got the Eurovision the last 10 years. If they can get it, we can get it. I can't do somersaults like them. So,
you can down a pint better than myself.
I can down a pint better than most people. As anyone who's played tag rugby with me over the last 3 years will attest to.
This is true.
But sure, look, obviously Amanda co-hosts a podcast about drinking beers, is good at drinking beers. Shock horror. Next news story. So lads, that's been your intro. Now on to the main business.
I just want to interject there, DJ, just before we kick on. I'd just like to say a big congratulations to the winner of the three cans of Yellow Belly beer, and the winner is
Thomas Tucker O'Keefe. Yay!
I love that vinegary.
would you ever cop the fuck on, would you, you big fucking idiot. Anyways, lads, I was sitting at home the other night. Cop on, really. I was sitting at home the other night watching Netflix, and I flicked through Netflix, and do you know when you come across a film and you're like, Jesus, I actually read that book a couple of years ago, and you're like, right, I'll watch the film adaptation of it and I'll see what it's like. And quite often, more often than not, it's a letdown. But the odd gem comes up and you've read the book, you watch the film, and the film lives up to expectations.
Yeah.
So, Owen, I'm going to come to you first on this.
Huh?
What is the best, what is your favourite adaptation of a film from a book that you read? So I'm not talking about what's your favourite book that's made into a film, whether it's good or bad, or what's your favourite film but the book was shite. I'm talking about what do you think, what film do you think is best represented in an adaptation from a book to a film and carried the book through and been true to the book.
Jesus. So I'll tell you ones that are shite first, right? Thanks.
Because that's exactly what I asked.
So I think the Harry Potter films are fucking, those books are magical.
And did you actually read the books, yeah?
Oh yeah, yeah. So we were all really? The age.
Yeah.
When Harry was 11, we were 11.
Yeah, me too.
I would probably have to say Jurassic Park.
Right.
Killer book. Yeah. Killer film. And it's one of those ones like with like the fucking like the film pretty much matches the book, but then you have like the John Williams score and stuff and all the music throughout it, and like just those action scenes as well.
Possibly the best score of a film of all time. Possibly.
And then it's Spielberg, isn't it?
Gladiator.
Yeah.
Hans Zimmer.
Yeah, and I if you're talking about scores for a film, I'd throw out Lord of the Rings, Two Towers as well for a score, but I think Jurassic Park score is fantastic.
Rocky 1, 2, 3, 4, Creed, and Creed 2 when it comes out, if you're talking about music.
All right, Grandpa.
Fact.
My favourite score is that Upside Down Spider-Man kiss.
My favourite score is in the betweeners when she wanks him off at the teenage disco. Anyway, you were talking about Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah, no, like, I just think, like, the action sequences, the tension, everything in that film is just absolutely amazing. One of my favourite films, like, it's...
And even the trilogy, it's one of the trilogies that it actually is very good watch, all three films independently, but as a trilogy as well.
Yeah, yeah, no, yeah. And I only read the first, like, Jurassic Park, the book, but again, there, all the trilogy are there. I think there could be actually more. Books and that, like, boy, yeah, quality, definitely, yeah, I think.
Yeah.
So, BDQ, what are you thinking?
Jesus, I read a lot of non-fiction, so I'm trying to rack my brains in terms of. Yeah, I suppose I'm thinking of one actually that you've read as well, Simon.
Yeah.
It's called The Great British Coup, and
it's called a Very British Coup.
Cut that.
Is that a movie?
Mm.
Oh, that'd be a great movie. It's a good book.
It's
yeah, but how many books have you said that about the shit movies?
Yeah, good point.
The book is better than the movie. It paints a picture of a leftist kind of rise in government in Britain. Simon, you're probably going to tell me that I'm incorrect here or
yeah,
correct. 60s, 70s, and they devalue the British pound. They go against the IMF. They get investment from Russia. It's just, it's kind of quite relevant for today actually.
It was unbelievably relevant.
The book is just gripping. Every chapter, every page, every plot unfold. It's just it's gripping.
Even if they're getting investment from Russia and stuff, it's nearly like it's quite far left, so it's almost Marxist in its like.
But and you can almost say, like, obviously we had the 10-year anniversary of our bank guarantee there, was it 2-3 weeks ago, and like I suppose that was a, you know, you could see that almost being an option in our case. Instead of going to the IMF, you can go left field and get your financing from, yeah, exactly, burn the stakeholders, like,
yeah.
But that's one that just sprung to mind off the top of my head. It's it was a gripping book, and I'd highly recommend the read. Yeah,
it's called A Very British Coup.
A Very British Coup. Yeah, it's definitely one to look over. I haven't seen it, so I haven't read the book either. So
I didn't even know it was a movie. What I found reading the book was it's a really fantastic book to read, and it's incredibly frustrating because I don't want to give the plot away, and I actually can't remember the whole plot, but like I could have the gist of it. But essentially, someone comes into power for a different party who hasn't been in power for a long, 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 long time, and then the other party and all their links and everything else just kind of cut their nose off to spite their face, if you like. Like, they ruin the country in order to ruin this guy's reputation, in order to get the power back. And it's really frustrating to read because it's like, would you not just give it a chance and let, you know, the guy comes into power with very good intentions, and he's kind of doesn't stand a chance because it's all good intentions and trying to do the right thing for the country is nothing to do with politics in that book anyway. And whether or not that's the case in real life, I don't know. Maybe that's for a different thing to the Snugcast, perhaps.
Yeah. I know. Look, I like discussing this kind of stuff. Like, Snugcast is basically the kind of chat that goes on in pubs, and kind of chat that goes on in pubs isn't always lighthearted. Sometimes the deeper depths of society and human psyche are discussed in pubs, and the Irish pub is a great place where you can be absolutely surprised by individuals and their background knowledge and I suppose things that people have read into it that you wouldn't expect, especially people that you'd know in your local community and stuff. So this kind of chat is fascinates me, and is, I suppose, is part of the premises why we are so passionate about the Snugcast, because that ability to communicate, get your point across in a pub. Like, you go into a pub now and people are on their phones and they're not engaging with each other, they're watching a match or listening to music, it's too loud to have a conversation. Whereas this conversation, where you end up getting into these in-depth details and the core of real matters, I think is quite important to society, and it's a skill that's being lost. So the fact that we come around, like before we did the Snugcast, we come around and have these conversations anyway, is a testament to us trying to fucking keep that skill alive. And even that humour, that, like, you know, when you get to that serious point in the conversation and someone in the pub just like delivers a one-liner,
yeah.
And just the timing and the skill in that, like, I'd hate for that skill to be lost.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Dave, like, fantastic suggestion. Something to keep an eye out for.
Just to jump back in there as well, like, those of you who are avid Late Late Show watchers, like myself, it was a film from London last Friday, and just in terms of you were saying something like, well, how one party can be in government and just, like, you know, they're track mind, they're there to just fucking destroy the, like, their policies or whatever, kind of turn a country on a course that could be detrimental to a whole nation. And Graham Norton was interviewed by Ryan Tuberty in, I don't actually know where it was recorded in London, but
I heard Westminster, I didn't see him, I heard it was in Westminster.
But he gave a great analogy of, like, the current Brexit fiasco that's occurring in the UK, and he's like, you know, it's such a British thing. There's like, you know, I said I'd eat my boot, and I'd fucking eat my boot. So fuck you all, and that's what I'm gonna do. Even though, like everyone knows, like, what are you doing? Like, this is absolutely like, you're. But I just thought that that analogy that he used was fantastic. So look it up. It's a nice little clip on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, like, I think Brexit is a whole other discussion. Yeah, it's definitely something that we want to talk about on the Snugcast. But I think, like, we're only having a couple of points tonight. Brexit is a leery topic, I'd say.
Definitely, yeah.
I really want to discuss Brexit, but I really want to be oiled with 8 or 9 points when I'm discussing it. Like, so, yeah,
actually, just one point on Brexit there. I saw a great tweet by Frankie Boyle there today.
I saw it, yeah.
It's just like, it's like, the one good thing to come out of Brexit is that I'm going to really enjoy the Irish seeing a British famine.
Fair play to you, Frankie. Come on, Frank. Anyway, Dave, thanks a million for that.
No worries.
Simon, your opinion on the best adaptation of a book to film?
Well, it's not my opinion, it's actually a fact, DJ. The best... if you haven't seen the movie or read the book, you might be surprised by this, but if you have seen the movie or read the book, you'll completely understand where I'm coming from. The best adaptation of a book to a film is the same answer as the best film ever, which is The Princess Bride. It is my favourite film of all time. It is the best film of all time. It comes from a book written in 1973 by William Goldman. I actually did it the other way around, so I saw the movie about 50 times, and then I was like, oh, I should probably read the book now. Brilliant book. Best movie ever made. Yeah, that's the end of it. What's the next topic?
No more.
This is coming from the man whose favourite Irish person in history is Amy Huberman. Just want to point that out. My favourite adaptation of a book to a film is actually the middle part of a trilogy, and it's the only part of that trilogy that's been adapted to film. And I would love the other two films to be adapted, or the other two books to be adapted to film. Jim Sheridan, if you're listening, get on it. My favourite adaptation of a book to a film is Angela's Ashes by Frank McCourt, which is a fictional tale of his upbringing in Limerick. And it's set in the most depressing era, not the most depressing era in Irish history, believe it or not, but it's set in a really depressing era, in a really depressing setting in squalor in Limerick, with absolutely zero prospects. And the amount of humour that is contained in that book and film, and the amount of humour that he projects, it just is a testament to how Irish people just go on with things when times are shit. Like, they're even one of the first scenes when they're in New York before they come home, and he's himself and his brother are in the apartment with the little twins, twin brothers that they have, and his father's in the pub and his mother's out of work, and the neighbour comes in and says, "Dear God, what's that smell?" And he just looks up at her in his little Irish accent and says, "Ah, no, missus, it's the twins. Their arses are shitty." And there's like, you know, they're in the depths of squalor, and just like, "'Tis all right, like, that's all that the smell is, you know."
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They go on, like, and yeah, there's some brilliant parts of that. Like, he becomes a postman, he's delivering post to this girl with tuberculosis, and he falls into a puddle on a rainy day, and she says, "Come in next to the fire and dry yourself off." And he takes off his clothes and hangs them up at the fire. She comes in, she's like, "That's a fine Mickey you have there." And she just grabs him by the knob, like, and takes him on the couch. And just the narration then of the actor that plays him, like, is just like, anything could be happening to me. I could be getting the consumption. I could be dead in a week. But I couldn't give a fiddler's fart. It's fucking brilliant. Like, and I just thought, I read the trilogy first before I saw the film.
What are the other two in the trilogy?
Oh, Jesus, I can't think of it. The names of them now are just we won't to fuck. They're gone from my head.
Angela's Bashes and Angela's
Angela's Nashes, Angela's Gashes. Gangela's Gash. Set in Jamaica. Set in a weed factory brothel in Jamaica, Gangela's Gash. But basically actually, it's the first book in the trilogy. I got that completely wrong. But the middle book is him when he immigrates to America and how he's trying to find his way, like cleaning jacks and all that kind of stuff and living in squalor in America. And he eventually goes and studies English and gets a scholarship and becomes a teacher. And then the final book is him trying to, like, live his life as an adult with leaving everything behind. It's a fucking fantastic trilogy of books to read. But genuinely, like, it couldn't be... It's one of the more depressive books that you read, yet at the same time, one of the more comedic... like one of the more like comedic genius books that you read. Like, it's that dark humour that just, like, you can't picture, like even the fact that, like, their brothers died of the consumption in the bed alongside him, and they're at the funeral and they're blessing themselves, and the two young fellas are like, "In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Toast, amen," like, you know, just fucking these little snippets every now and again, like, and absolutely fucking brilliant. Angela's Ashes is definitely my favourite, but
I want to give a shout out as well. Or maybe this might lead into our next segment.
Might do.
I was going to
give your shout out, and then we'll surprise the boys. Don't know what's coming next.
Because I was going to say, books that has led into a TV show.
Yeah, it does tie you nicely to our next segment.
So that kind of segues nicely onto our next segment.
Segues nicely.
Do you want to ask me the question in the next segment? I'll answer that anyway.
What I'm looking for, Anna, is I want to know, guys, what's your top 3 box set recommendations for the listeners? Owen.
Right, so what I was going to answer there is...
to your own question.
To my own question, right, and to the previous question there, is Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
That series about Song of Fire and Ice.
Never heard of that. What's that about?
It's about look at this girl who is on a boring. She's off of depression in Limerick.
Gonna, Frank McCourt. Francis is a boy's and a girl's name.
But yeah, no. Game of Thrones. So so he's written the books and. The books have been going since, is it the 80s or something? Like, he's been taken about, 30 years to write 6 books. And it's just, it's just so long and tedious. And they're still waiting for the new book, which is The Winds of Winter. Yeah. And that's been, I think, about 10 years in the making or something.
But that's it, the TV series has caught a snowball so quick that all of a sudden now he needs to speed up his writing to keep TV series churning out.
The TV series has overtaken the books.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah, that's fascinating. I only watched Game of Thrones for the first time last year.
I'm actually only started.
Oh, lad.
Yeah, it's quality, so I won't ruin anything then.
Very good.
But yeah, it's really, really good. So he wrote the books and then he wrote the screenplay, let's say, for the TV series. And then he just started kind of making a few changes. So, some characters are omitted and, it takes pretty much the same route, but, just little bits have gone from the TV show or new bits have been added in or there's been a little change in direction. It's kind of still following the same plot, but, just little bits have come along. So it's really fascinating, reading and watching both because you're, always comparing and contrasting the two and seeing, and you kind of get this extra info from the book or... because in the book, obviously, they can go into all the detail of, why did this person murder someone? Like, in the TV series, you just see a fucking sword going through a lad's eye, there's background of, this is a revenge mission or something, within the books. So, yeah, I think that TV show in itself is, without even reading books, is absolutely quality. The production values, HBO series,
so they make fantastic TV shows,
like The Sopranos and things like that.
They do West Wing as well, don't they?
Yeah, West Wing, yeah. Westworld, and
Entourage.
Entourage, quality,
really good.
The Wire, really seedy. The Wire is fucking.
So, Game of Thrones in your top three. Give me 2 others for the listeners.
Actually, maybe The Wire.
The Wire.
Yeah.
That was
going to
be my top one as well.
Yeah,
that's the best.
Tough shit, lads. He sat the wrong side of the table.
And my third... I was really into House. Do you remember? College.
Yeah, House is quite good, yeah.
House is really good. I just... it ended up kind of... every episode was the same fucking formula. It was just House... this guy comes in with a, they haven't a clue what's going on with him.
He lobs a few Vicodin in,
then he sends the doctors out to the person's house
and they break in.
Yeah,
steal a parrot.
Yeah, usually. Have a look around. Yeah, steal a parrot or a pigeon or whatever. They go, the pigeon.
Test the pigeon scrotum.
No, it's the pigeon shat in the water.
Obvious.
And he will wash his face in the water.
Then he's like, oh fuck, actually it's not that after all. And then some other.
He has sex with a woman with HIV.
I actually love one of the running jokes in it is that they come along and they're like, maybe it's lupus, right? And throughout the entire series, it's never ever lupus. And it's just one of those things where after about 6 seasons on it, they're like, will you ever shut up?
Oh, absolutely. Big Dave Quinn.
Well, I'm not going to back down from my number one.
It is
The Wire. I remember.
Who's your favourite character in The Wire?
Bunky.
Bunky
Love. I remember when I first started watching it, I just moved to Canada from finished my master's. A bunch of us moved over to Vancouver and I was introduced to The Wire. And I think I watched. Is it six? How many seasons? Six?
Five.
Five?
Five, yeah.
I think I watched all 5 seasons in space of. 6-7 days, and I was everything that I saw was The Wire. I was relating life to this TV show.
Shit.
Yeah. Second would be the League. Have you ever watched the League?
Oh, stop.
It's a quality.
That's a great show. That's Finnish now, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like fantasy football league.
Yeah.
And American football, fantasy football league.
The characters are gold.
Yeah, so good.
I'd highly, highly recommend a watch of that. And then for my final one, I'm actually going to marry two TV shows together because they're quite small. Yes Minister. I really like that on Fawlty Towers. I think it's a quality
just
TV
easy
show.
Watching kind of.
Oh,
like, I shouldn't even think of the classics.
That is just, you could like stick that on and watch it all day long. So they're mine.
Excellent, Dave. Fucking brilliant, Simon.
So my three new ones.
Why not bollocks? I wouldn't mind, but he's only having 1 point tonight and he's still acting. Simon, I'll come to you. Your three.
I'd rather talk about The Princess Bride for a bit longer. I feel like I didn't explain myself and then you destroy me with Angela's Ashes. But
the remake, The Princess Bride, and Amy Huberman plays the princess.
Stop. Do you know what? It wouldn't be any better. It actually wouldn't be any better. It is already perfect. I love Amy Huberman. Sorry, Amy, if you're listening, which you probably are, but you would not improve The Princess Bride even if you were in it.
Hey, she liked one of her tweets. You might be.
Oh, there you go. I had to write mine down because I've got a really short memory. So, number one is The Wire. Has anyone heard of that before? I don't know what you guys said. I was busy writing down my list.
What's it about?
Yeah, it's about telecoms.
Who's your favourite character?
Wires. Either McNulty or Lester.
Oh, yeah, McNulty.
They're all brilliant, aren't they? It's unbelievable. Like, it should have, sometimes it should have subtitles. And what I love about it is, and kind of hate about it is, like, you might be watching and what is going on, and then four episodes later, it suddenly all makes sense. Like, there's a lot to it. Like, it's just absolutely brilliant. Oh, my other favourite character is, in Boardwalk Empire, he's called Chalky. I can't think what his name is in it. He's got a big scar across his face.
Him. Yeah, the guy who
whistles. Come on. No? Okay. Well, anyway, him. Yeah, if you're listening, text in.
It's Train of the Boy's favourite fucking episode. The name of character.
I can't even remember the name of the beer I ordered like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, desperate.
Life in the Snowcast.
Yeah. That was probably the thing that kind of kicked Idris Elba off, was it? Like,
yeah, it was.
Yeah,
he was trying to bell in it. Was
he Luther before that or after that?
After.
Or was he?
Luther's
relatively
new, isn't it? Like,
that's old enough.
No, they're still filming Luther.
I know, it started years back.
There's only about four series of it though, and there's only what, about three episodes?
That's because he was busy doing The Wire and everything else.
So
there's a fair few episodes. And actually, like Dave, I watched all of that in a week. I finished my medical exams, and then I watched all of them in a week after that.
I just consumed it. I forced into it.
Number two, I don't know if many people in Ireland have watched this or not. It's called People Just Do Nothing, and it is absolutely unbelievable.
Chabadi
G. Probably my favourite ever. So I'm slightly biased. It's filmed. It's filmed about 3 miles away from where I'm actually from, and if anyone hasn't watched it, which is probably quite a lot of people.
It's on Netflix now.
Unbelievable.
That's really good. I love that one. I haven't seen it, so now I'll add it.
Make that top of the list. PJDN, People Just Do Nothing. Shout out to Chabadi G. Karaft FM. Unbelievable.
Does it kind of have the feel of like when Ali G just broke onto the scene?
Because like Chabadi G was a bit like Ali G was like a bit part in it.
Yeah.
And then he's just blown up and he's massive. Like he's big. Like when I say he's big, he does like the British Airways adverts and stuff like that.
He was
ringside for the AJ fight there the other night.
He's absolutely
made it. Legend.
He's tweeting a lot of shit and everything during that as well. He's nearly constantly in character.
He's too funny. Big fan of PJDN. So anyone that hasn't seen it, it's a mockumentary about pirate DJs in Brentford. Shout out to the Brentford crew. and it's absolutely unbelievable. Corrupt FM, yeah, exactly. Quality. Love it. Anyway, so that'll be my second one. Huge fan of that. And then third one, a little bit different now. It's called Chef's Table. I don't know if anyone's seen Chef's Table.
Oh, it's on my list on Netflix. I haven't heard of it yet.
Very good. Like it's easy watching, and it's again, if anyone hasn't seen that, very different to the other things we've been talking about. But it's kind of a documentary about all the kind of the best chefs in the world. But it's so cinematic and it's so visually amazing, and like the insight into these people's lives and the way they think and the way they work and how committed to what they do they all are is just spectacular. It's unbelievable. And like, realistically, I've probably never eaten any of their restaurants or never eaten any of the food that they make, but just seeing what they do and how they do it and the way that it's all put together is amazing.
What I really like about it is that they take it out of the kitchen and it's like them at home and you know, some of the shit that they just, you know, whip up like for lunch and things like that, you know, there's like loads of little outtakes and stuff, and
it's like Michelin star standard,
like. Exactly.
Or like I remember one bit that sticks in my mind is where I think it's actually the very first episode, this Italian guy with like two or three Michelin stars, and sorry, I can't remember your name if you're listening, but you're a really good chef, one of my faves. And they interview his wife and they're saying like he's just consumed by food and recipes and everything else, and she's saying like they'll be at the cinema and then she'll say like, oh, what do you think of the film, and he'd be like, I'll be honest, I don't really know. I was thinking like, what if you can make ice cream invisible? How cool would that be? And then he'll like try and make ice cream invisible, or you know, whatever it might be. It's just amazing to see how their minds work. And I tell you, I don't know if it's a funny story or not, but I'll tell you a story about me watching it. So I was doing an on-call shift about 6 months ago, and I've been up for most of 24 hours at this stage. And I went and got myself a big old dirty breakfast roll with like black pudding, sausage, bacon,
delicious,
two fried eggs, the lot, like everything in it. And I sat in the on-call room and I ate this. And I was like, oh, I'll give myself a bit of company. So I watched an episode of The Chef's Table. So the episode I watched is about this Buddhist monk woman who makes like these amazing food from like everything's natural. It's all vegan. It's all like she kind of grows it herself, and she makes her own soy sauce, and she makes like kimchi and kombucha and all these kind of things. And I kind of had this moment where they were talking about... The guy was talking about was saying she makes this like lotus tea stuff, and he's like, it's so delicious. It's basically like water, but with the most subtle extra flavor in it, and like it's just perfection. And I was listening to this while I horsed into this baguette with like every kind of processed meat you could imagine. I've been awake for 24 hours, so yeah, Chef's Table, I guess, on my list.
Calorie Central.
That's it.
If I was to give my three, I'm going to go reverse order. I'm going to go number three first. So number three for me would probably be Friday Night Lights, just for easy watch,
so
pure
good.
Cheese. Fucking.
What's the saying? Full heart,
clear eyes, full heart, can't lose.
Yeah, that's it.
And as well, like it's not an adaptation of a book. The book was adapted to a film, but it's like reflective of a book. It's like a segue from a book. So
there's a TV series on that as well.
Though. Yeah, no, it's the TV series I'm talking about.
Yeah, sorry.
There's a film, which is an adaptation of the book, and then it took the TV series, which was like, you know, basically a parallel to the book, for want of a better phrase.
So it's kind of extended.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It was the same kind of concept, but like just completely... ran a different kind of storyline.
I've never heard of it.
Oh
lad, get on it.
Simon,
get on it.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's pure cheese, like.
High school football. Dylan Panthers, Texas.
Got to mention on last week's Snowcast as well.
Number two for me would have to be the U.S. Office.
Really?
The US Office.
Better than the UK Office.
Wow. Oh, like miles better than the UK Office.
Really?
Like the UK Office is like is like the rough sketch of it, and then they perfected it with the US Office. Like the US Office for me is the easiest watch, the biggest laugh, and like I just like
that's a big statement.
I don't know, like I like to be controversial.
It's fucking quality.
It's though, absolutely quality.
I mean, what do you reckon? Is it, I haven't watched much of the American one. Is the American one better than the British one?
Yeah, I think just because as well that it runs longer.
Yeah.
So it has like 8 seasons and it stays.
It's developed characters, and it's
just it stays quality as well. Whereas like I think like obviously fucking Ricky Gervais and the boys are so good in the UK office, but like it's just cut and it's like, you know the way like where you say the likes of Father Ted or whatever is like, I think, caught at the perfect time. Mm. Whereas, like, I think the UK office could have kept going. Like, you know what I mean? They could have.
Ricky Gervais kind of took off too much, and
he took off, and then then he went to write the US office.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, but from like from a career point of view, he probably made the right move.
Yeah,
you know. And I'd say number one for me, it took me about 3 years to watch it because I started watching it at a time in my life when I was ultra busy, like, you know, end of college, doing finals, trying to get other stuff sorted, moving around houses every couple of months and stuff.
DeAngelis, like, is it?
No. Go on.
I love the one there in the 15th.
Quality.
Jesus.
Quality. That whole one, ringing that bell, like, she fucking nailed it. Number one for me is Sons of Anarchy.
Have you never seen Sons of Anarchy?
I've never seen it.
Lads,
I know what it is, but
Sons of Anarchy for me, like, so it's just it's all action. You get really into it, and the characters are absolute fucking devils, like, they're absolute cunts. But you see their backstory and their family ties and stuff, and then you develop a relationship with them that you feel affection towards them. And when you run through the whole lot, they kill off key characters at the exact right point where you're like, no, they've fucking gone too soon, but then they move on real quickly.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those, like, not to give any spoilers away, can only eat fucking eats it to watch it yet. But it's fucking absolutely brilliant. So Sons of Anarchy for me, just one that when you get into it, you can't stop watching it. It's one of those ones where you'll end up spending a weekend where you're saying, fucking hell, I've just watched like 14 hours of television non-stop. Like, so, Sons of Anarchy for me. Lads, great fucking answers all around.
We left a few key ones out there, like the OC.
Give a few honorable mentions.
Beverly Hills 90210. Dawson's Creek and all that.
Dawson's Creek, yeah. I missed that one.
You're some knob.
Backdoor Babes 5.
Yeah. Fair City, like, that's a quality one.
Right, lads, impromptu fucking question that I hadn't thought of beforehand, but right. The best name of a film or TV series. We used to do this in college in physiology lectures. Best name of a film or TV series that can be turned into a porno without changing a word of the title of it.
Oh, that can't.
I'll give you. Fucking hell, I was going to give an example and say Gone in 60 seconds, but Toy Story,
Fast and Furious,
Father Ted.
Fucking hell.
The Wire.
Four Weddings and a Funeral. That's five scenes right there.
Right along. And on that lovely note, lads,
Princess Bride. Obviously.
That's a posh bank if ever there was one. That's what we meant by the quick quips that you don't find in pubs anymore. Listen, lads, on that note, we'll wrap it up. It's been a fucking fantastic snowcast. As ever, Big Dave, we love fucking having you on. Listen, we'll give you a shout every week. Simon, great to have you back, man.
Great to be back.
Absolutely fucking loved having you on. It's been an absolute ball. And, geez, we can't leave it as long for the next time. I just want to say now, lads, we've been blessed to be in Grady's yard. So do you know what, we're going to give Vic, the system manager here in Grady's yard, a couple of minutes now to tell us this episode's coming out on Monday the 22nd of December, I nearly said there. And just if you're in Waterford, you're in Waterford for the bank holiday weekend, they have an upcoming event coming on Sunday, and we're going out to myself and Vic chatting about their Halloween party that's coming up on Sunday. So yeah, joined here on the Snugcast by Vic Dunphy, the assistant manager here at Grady's Yard, and anyone that listens to the Snugcast will know that we're very big fans of Grady's Yard here. Love to come in and have a few pints. So we just want to give them a shout out and promote an event that they have on this bank holiday weekend in October. So anyone in Waterford, get down to it. We're going to have a chat about it now. And anyone not in Waterford but thinking of coming out for the bank holiday weekend, get down and get into Grady's Yard. Listen, I'm not bad at the old selling, I don't.
Oh, but you want a job, do you?
Well, if you want to pay me for drinking in here, I'll gladly take it. So, Vic, Sunday the 28th of October, there's a Halloween party going on. Halloween-ish party.
A Halloween-ish party, yeah. We have some absolutely savage DJs coming down here. As Mud is what the lads have been going by for years. They're fairly well known in Waterford. Ben Lahan and Steve O'Connell is their names. They're unbelievable. So they're going to do the kind of vibe that we're kind of promoting in here anyway. The exact kind of music that we're playing. Strictly vinyl as well. Just throw that out there for all the vinyl heads. It's going to be a class night.
Oh, we're big fans of the vinyl on the Snowcast. So they kind of play a bit of 80s punk, a bit of indie, a bit of hip-hop, a bit of electro.
Yeah.
A good eclectic mix.
Yes.
A bit for everyone,
yeah,
and
totally.
You'll just find your groove.
Totally.
And you don't play the music too loud in here. It's kind of almost like the backdrop to Good Night, as opposed to the folks at the Good Night.
Yeah. That's totally done on purpose. Like, you can go into any kind of pub that you want to, and you listen to good music and it's deadly, but the whole atmosphere in here is to come in, chill out, have a few drinks with your friends, and do like what you're doing tonight, just chill out and have a laugh, you know.
I mean, that's exactly why we love this place, because we can come in and record a podcast.
Yeah,
bit of background noise is what we want. It's not too much more than that, and it's ideal for us. You're encouraged in fancy dress, but it's not strictly you're not going strictly fancy dress.
I am definitely encouraged in fancy dress. I love Halloween, and a lot of the staff here love Halloween as well, so we're very excited to decorate the place. I am encouraging everybody to dress up, because we're all going to be dressed up. Like, Halloween is great crack, you know.
Oh, it really is. Like, I'm really looking forward. Like, I'm actually away that weekend, but I'm back late the Saturday night, so I'm definitely going to try and get in. And even if we get a chance, we might do an old bonus special feature from here. But you're encouraging a bit of fancy dress, and what time are you kicking off? And
About 9:30, around 8:30 is usually a good mark for it. So, like, we'd be encouraging people, because we can get really, really busy, as you know yourself, on the weekends. People to get in here if they want to have their little hideaway in their snugs, or have a decent table, to come in about 9:30.
Like, you have a great selection of boots and little, but even at that, if you're coming in and you look in the door and it looks busy and the boots are taken, like, there's some fantastic little nooks and crannies that you can just hide away into and have your few pints. And
yeah, there's loads of places that you can actually just chill out and relax in, you know.
Listen, you have to come in and see it to believe it. Like, it's a fantastic setup. So events going on during the night then, you've got a couple of drinks lined up.
Well, we have our famous infusions that are fastly becoming fairly popular anyway. They're just flying out every time we have them. So I'll give you a hint of one that we have, because we can't give everything away.
No, definitely don't.
You have to just kind of tease it out. But one that we're going to be doing is Voodoo Vodka, obviously, for Halloween. And that is going to be vodka, blood orange, mango and pineapple. Oh. Very, very excited for that one. It's going to be class.
Blood orange, mango and pineapple.
Yes.
Good bit of sourness, good bit of sweetness,
totally.
Like, there. It's going to really like light up the palate there. And it's going to be an easy drink.
Big time.
Yeah, very easy drink. And the infusions, I want to know, I hear you're really good at coming up with the names for the infusions.
Yes.
What kind of debate goes on? Who do you fight over it? Or?
So we have a WhatsApp group with all of us and the staff, and it's encouraged to be as creative as you possibly can. And as you know yourself, we're after coming up with some amazing names.
Yeah.
I am not very good at coming up with the names, but I am very good at coming up with the balance of flavours.
Yeah.
I leave the name coming up with to the staff, and they're after lashing out some absolutely brilliant ones.
Ginger Swiss is my personal favourite.
Ginger Swiss. But we actually got one the other day, Gin Milan, and I was like, that has to be done.
Well,
like, if you're in Waterford, that has to be
absolutely.
Done.
Absolutely. Did Johnny come in for one? Or?
No, he hasn't been in
yet.
If he's listening, tell him to knock in, please.
If he's listening now, we'll bombard him on Twitter with, like, get in.
Definitely, there's Gin Milan on the house for John Milan, definitely.
We also have a challenge for you now. Before Christmas, we want a Snugcast themed infusion.
Oh, that's a great idea, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll have to put that
back. Collaborate on that.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, we'll collaborate on that, absolutely, 100%. And you'll have the regular selection of Yellow Belly and guest taps as well.
Usual stuff. And what we're hoping to have, what we're definitely going to be having, once again, the Halloween theme, we're going to have White Ghost. It's a sour from Stone Berlin, they're called. Standard sour Berliner Weiss. It's going to be really, really tasty.
Yeah.
I've tasted it and it's unreal.
They do their sours really well in Germany.
Oh,
like,
time.
So, like,
big time.
And this time of the year as well, German beer is well promoted in Oktoberfest and everything.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
It's quite seasonal and topical as well.
Yeah.
And to finish up then, spine tingling soiree. Like, lads, if you're thinking of, like, they threw that on Facebook and I saw it there yesterday or the day before and I had an little chuckle to myself, like, I'm gonna do everything I can to get down. Yeah. The only fucking issue I have now is I try and think of a costume.
Everybody's saying the same thing. Like, what am I gonna dress up as?
Someone in my frame, I won't get away with like a Disney princess or something.
Give it a go. Like,
would you give it a crack?
If you can find a dress, that's all you.
I've gone out worse probably at some stage. Listen, thanks a million for joining us at Snugcast this week. Really appreciate it. Looking forward to coming along on Sunday, hopefully. Having a shot of the infusion, having a few guest taps, and just a few wines as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. All the regular wines to have, very, very tasty. All from Wine Lab as well.
Fantastic. Vic, thanks a million for joining
us. Thanks very much for having me.
On the ball. We'll talk to you soon.
Take it easy.
So guys, thanks a million for listening tonight. Thanks for Vic for joining in and selling the Sunday night to us. I'm definitely going to try and get in a costume and see how we go. So from all of us here, lads, parting words for the listeners.
Watch the Princess Bride.
It's been lovely having you.
Slán, go forward.
Stay away from yourselves. Snugcast the boo.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.